Psalm 147, verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Now, later on today, we're going to be talking about part of what I'm going to share is about what it means to bind up the brokenhearted. And it's been an incredible message, and God has really opened my understanding of it. You know, I love it when our children in Colombia, and we have 150 now, and 4 homes, school and medical unit that we're starting. But I love it when our children are thinking about things of the Lord. You know, I think that's amazing. And one of our boys, Santiago, Janina, just come out of our new Blessings building, which is finished and fully operational, by the way. Praise the Lord for that. And as Janine came out, she had this big bunch of keys hanging off her trousers. And Santiago looked at it and he said, "Do you think God has that many keys for all of the rooms in heaven?" But it was wonderful, you know, just to see he's thinking about heaven and about the Lord. And Janine said to him, "Well, actually, I don't think there's any keys for all of the rooms in heaven, because what you need to do to get in is believe in Jesus as your Savior." And he goes, "Yeah, that's a good thing, right?" Yeah, fantastic. So today, I just want to show you a quick overview of the foundation and our 4 homes and our school. And we're going to just put a first chapter of the video on. Okay? There we go. Great. So it's just going to play for about 10 seconds of the menu here, and then it'll just go straight into chapter 1. Now that's our logo for Children's Vision, you know, and one of our children in Colombia who's studying graphic arts managed to get it to move and make sound, which was fantastic. Now, our UK foundation is called New Hope for Children and supports the work of Children's Vision in Colombia. And we rescue at-risk children and help families in need. Now, we have 4 children's homes, and our children's homes are Genesis, Exodus, the Leviticus house, and the Numbers house. Can you just get the music up just a little bit, please? Thank you. Genesis house was started back in 1993. And these are our house photographs for this year. It was incredible to take the kids to the park on those days, and you know, they were just loving it and took an opportunity to play too, as well as take the photographs. We have 160 children that we're helping right now. We provide also all of their medical attention, right from optometry, physiotherapy, general medical, right the way through to any of their needs. And you know, when you have a home, 4 homes in a school, you also have to provide food. And this is what lunchtime looks like at our house. It's a busy time of the day, I'll tell you. And this is our pizza night. When we have volunteer teams that come in, we do special nights, and among those is pizza night. And my children come and tell me, "Daddy, I ate 10 slices of pizza today." And I tell them, "Well, I think you better stop now." This is our brand new Blessings building lunchroom. And here all of our children can have their meals together in one place at one time. Absolutely amazing to be able to do that. So when lunchtime is finished, it's time to go back to school. And the school is about a block away from the children's homes. This is our 2022 group photo. And at our beginning of Wisdom School, education is very important. You know, we want to make that education very hands-on, very fun, very enjoyable, and we use lots of different learning techniques to help our children be able to learn. We've been having some focus weeks, and this was maths focus week. We had the whole school decorated with equations, and we were doing competitions, and boy, the competition, it was tough, I'll tell you. And the kids were really into it. It was a great way to learn. And then we've been doing human science week, so we've been learning all about the human body. And I've learned about the digestive system and the respiratory system and the brain. Oh my goodness, every system you can imagine. But we've also been teaching that incredible message of creation, that God made man and woman to glorify him. This is one of our praise and worship times. We do this on a Wednesday morning. And we have a time of praise and worship, and then we split into 2 groups. Janine takes all of the younger children. I take all of the older children. And Janine too has been reinforcing that message of creation from the book of Genesis, but also she's been teaching the story of Noah. And in the times with the older children, we've been working through Paul's missionary journeys, especially focusing on what is godly living. Now, we also do evangelism along with our medical attention. We do hunger relief in our children's homes. Evangelism when we go out to the towns and the squares and the public places to teach the word of God. Education also, and our mission is to make a difference. So I'll stop the video there, thanks. So that's just a little update on our work in Colombia, and I'm really looking forward to being able to share with you a little bit more a little bit later on. Thank you very much.
In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to our Heavenly Father. Lord God, we thank you that you hear us when we pray. We thank you for your many blessings poured out on us each day. We thank you that we are freely able to meet together this morning to worship you, our glorious Creator. Saviour of the world, we pray for peace, justice, and reconciliation throughout your world. We pray for the honouring of human rights and for the relief of the oppressed. Be present in all places of suffering, violence, and pain, and bring hope even in the darkest of places. We pray for countries that are torn apart by conflict, illness, and hunger, for those living in countries with political instability, and for those who have had to flee their homes. We pray particularly for those affected by the war in Ukraine and the refugees who have relocated to the UK, for those living in our local community, and particularly the Ukrainian children attending our local schools. Help us to contribute to ensuring that they are welcomed, accepted, and supported. We are also mindful that there are people suffering the effects of the destruction of your creation, resulting in extreme weather and natural disasters. We pray for the people of Pakistan in their struggle for shelter, food, and clean water, and for the people of Somalia, Canada, and Florida. We also pray for our new king and for our government. Amidst all the uncertainty and change, Lord, help those who take up positions of responsibility to adjust quickly to their new roles and guide them to act wisely and in the best interests of the nation. We pray for peace, for wisdom, for all those in authority, and for your peace, protection, and comfort for all those who need it most. And inspire us, your people, to continue your work of reconciliation today and to show respect for the earth you lovingly created. Lord of the Church, empower your Spirit, by your Spirit, all Christian people, and the work of the Church in every nation. We thank you for the work of Richard, Janine, and all of their team and supporters at New Hope for Children. We pray that you will continue to guide them and that you will pour out your blessings on them and all of the children, young people, and families that they work to support. We pray for those we support as a church in their mission work, particularly for the Shrubsall family working with BMS at Guinibar 2 Hospital in Chad. We pray also for those Christians who are persecuted because of their faith in you. We ask for your protection for them and strength and guidance for all the individuals and organizations that seek to help them. Lord, give us all the grace to proclaim the gospel joyfully in word and deed. Good Shepherd and guardian of our souls, guide and enable all who lead and serve in this church and in our community, particularly our team leader, Joel, our church leadership team, and their families. We pray for all those who lead and support with the various groups here at Whitley Bay Baptist Church, and those who work to support our local community in other ways. Bless them and all those who they serve. We pray for those in our local area who are alone and for those who are in need. Bless the Warm Spaces Initiative and all those who will support it. We pray that the churches in Whitley Bay continue to be a beacon of hope and a practical demonstration of your love for all. Grant that we may all seek the peace and welfare of our local community. Great Physician, stretch out your hand to bring comfort, wholeness and peace to all those who are suffering. This morning we particularly pray for Tom and his support team, for Kate, for Amy's brothers Colin and Tim, and for Elaine. We thank you for Christine and John's improvement in health and pray that this continues. Fill us all with compassion, that we may be channels of your healing love. Conqueror of death, remember for good those whom we love but are no longer with us. And we pray for those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. We pray particularly for David, Joanne and Cheryl and their wider family as they mourn for their father, and also for the friends and relatives of Melita. Help us to live today in the sure and certain hope of your eternal victory. Loving Father, we give thanks for human love and friendship and for all that enriches our daily lives. Thank you for the wonderful wedding celebrations of Chrissy Mary and Ule yesterday. We thank you that you were with them through the day and pray that you will bless their marriage as they and that they will continue to grow in love for you and for each other. Lord, you sent your Son into this world to save us and to show us your ways. Have mercy on us, accept our prayers, and protect us today and always. Let's say together the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Bible reading this morning is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and beginning to read at verse 16. Luke chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 16. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. And Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly, I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Amen.
What a difficult moment in that reading. You know, something that's just been jumping out of the scriptures at me just over the last few months is how Jesus went to the hard places, to the difficult places, to the challenging places. He didn't shy away from any challenge that was in his path. He took those challenges head on, and he looked for the empowering of the Holy Spirit and God's power to bring him through those challenges. Now, the teaching that I want to give today, I've entitled The Hard, The Difficult, and The Challenging. The Hard, The Difficult, and The Challenging. And what I want to challenge you with today is that God can use us in hard moments and in difficult moments and in challenging moments. You know, if we look back in the chapters before, at the start of Luke 4, Jesus has just gone through all of the time of temptation, and he's been fasting and in the desert and defeated all of the challenges of the enemy. The very first verse says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, and all through that challenge, it says in a couple of places about him being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's an incredible example for us to, when we're going to confront a hard, difficult, or challenging time, to first seek God in prayer and look for the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us, and to give us the answers and to show us the path. Now, you know, I'm going to give you some examples of those difficult moments that Jesus didn't shy away from. For example, when he talked to the Samaritan woman at the well, you know, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get on real well, but he didn't shy away from that. He spoke to her immediately. You know, he didn't need to do that. When he went to the pool in Jerusalem, you know, when he healed people who were street people, he went to the most difficult of street people and brought them healing. Jesus did not shy away from the difficult and the hard times. He manifested his power in that way, in the difficult and hard and challenging times. Now, I want to share with you today just this thought from Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14. Now, we all have a calling to go and tell others all about the incredible message of salvation and who Jesus is. Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14 talks about the narrow gate and the wide gate. You know, God can use all of us to bring people to walk on that narrow path to the narrow gate, to know the miracle of salvation by knowing Jesus Christ in their heart. You know, a few weeks ago, I was in Northern Ireland, just right at the start of this trip, and I'm walking down the seafront at Portrush, you know, and it was a beautiful day, and it's a beautiful place. It's close to the Giant's Causeway, and I had like an hour between two services that I was doing in different churches. And I'm walking down that seafront, and I'm looking at all the people walking by. And you know what's in my mind? I'm thinking, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Are you going in the narrow gate? Are you on the narrow path? Do you know Jesus? And that's just the way my mind works, you know? I think it's kind of my evangelistic heart of wanting people to know Jesus. And I wanted to jump up and start saying to people, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? You know? It's just the way my heart works. But I want you to know that God can use you, that people would come to know Jesus and can bring them through to that narrow path that is the path to salvation And he can use you in challenging and difficult and hard times to do that for him. Now, you know, we have a saying in Colombia that says, mani cruzados, which means you just stand there and do nothing. You know, we don't do that. We had a girl called Paula who came to our foundation many years ago now. And Paula, her dad has big problems with alcohol, and she comes from a very poor little shack up on the mountain. And we had the privilege of being able to lift her out of the oppression that was the oppression of hunger, the oppression of poverty, the oppression of lack of education, and the biggest oppression of all, of not being able to know Jesus. And she's been with us a number of years now, and I love that little girl, I'll tell you. She is very introverted and very quiet, and she's not the most popular of the girls, you know, and she has a lot of difficulties going on in her life, but I think that's probably why I just love her even more, you know. And the dad decided on a weekend out that he wasn't going to let her come back, and we didn't stand there mani cruzados. You know what? We knew that God could use us in that challenging time. We went up the mountain, we prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit, and we asked God to move on that dad's heart, that firstly, he wouldn't be drunk when we got there, and that secondly, we could have a good conversation with him, that he wouldn't become violent, and that God would move on his heart, and Paula could come back to the foundation. We got into the battle for her life, you know, to bring her back to Jesus's path. And we got up there, and you know what? The Lord answered all of our prayers. Praise the Lord, we were able to bring Paula back. And it was like all we got to lift her out of that oppression all over again. And I want to tell you that God can use us to lift the oppressed out of their oppression and give them freedom in the love of Jesus Christ. So I want to take a little look, a little bit more at these verses from Luke 4, verses 16 to 19 is where I really want to focus today. You know, in Luke verses, chapter 4, verses 16 to 19, here there are three aims that Jesus sets out for his ministry. He is proclaiming the start of his ministry, and he has found the most difficult, most challenging, hard place that he is declaring the start of his ministry, which was in his home synagogue. Now, I'm going to read just a little bit to show you how I know that. So Luke 4, verses 16 to 19 says, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up." So we know he's in Nazareth, where he was brought up. And then it goes on, it says, "And his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." Why is that an important detail? It's an important detail because he could have only read there if it was his home synagogue. So we know that it was his home synagogue, where he grew up, where he was known, where they knew him as a child, where they knew his family, they knew his background. And he chose that place, probably the most difficult place, to announce, proclaim the start of his ministry. So let's read a little bit further on. It says in verse 17, "He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." He found the place. Now, this was going to be the culmination of a prophecy that came 700 years previously in Isaiah 61:1. This was going to be the culmination of that prophecy, because Jesus was going to set out what Isaiah had said 700 years before, and Jesus was going to say, "This is what my ministry is going to be." So he starts again straight away, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he said, he's been anointed to do three things. Firstly, to preach the gospel to the poor. Then he goes on, he says, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty," this is the third thing, "to the captives, the blind, and those who are oppressed." This is what Jesus sets out that he's going to do in his ministry. And you know, when we helped Paula, and I think about that oppressed, and I think about all of our children in Colombia, it's amazing to know that we can be part of lifting them out of that oppression of the enemy wanting to destroy their life, and we can bring them to a place where they can know Jesus and where they can be blessed. And I want to tell you that God can use all of us to do that right here in Whitley Bay too. Now, I want to take a bit of a closer look at these three things, these three points that Jesus sets out. He's defining what his ministry is going to be. So Jesus says that he's going to heal the brokenhearted. But before that, he says he's going to bring, preach, teach the message of salvation to the poor. Okay, now that really stood out to me, to the poor. And I'm immediately thinking, why the poor and not the rich? And, you know, is it the poor in spirit or is it those who were really just poor? Now, we need to bear in mind the context. About 90% of the population in these times were poor. So let's just start with that. Okay, that was the majority of the people. And now I'm going to give you some examples because I feel like really there was a real leaning towards the physically poor, the lack of resources, people who were poor. So let me tell you why I think that. Okay, in Luke, there's over 10 more references to the poor. Okay, so let's look at some of the examples. All right, John the Baptist sends two of his followers to speak to Jesus. And in Luke 7, verse 22, Jesus gives the reply. Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Oh, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Do you see how that thing of the poor is put together with physical things? The lame and the blind and leprosy. And so I can only think it's poor in a physical sense. Lack of resources, poor. Okay, let me give you another example. Story of the rich man and his banquet. When there's other guests who don't appear, who is called in? The poor. Luke 14, verse 13. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And then again in Luke 14, verse 21, it's confirmed. Again, the calling was to bring in the poor, but it was the physically poor. Because it's together with other physical things. Okay? Now, let me give you another example. Story of Lazarus. Luke 16, verses 20 and 22. The story of Lazarus, the beggar who goes to heaven. Was it the rich man who went to heaven? No, it was the beggar, the poor man who went to heaven. So again, this real inclination towards the definition of the poor being the poor. Maybe the implication was that for the rich it was more difficult to receive the message of salvation because maybe more dependent on their physical resources, their human resources. And also the rich would have been those who would have been most challenged by the message Jesus was bringing because they were the spiritual leaders of the time. You know, so I think there's this real inclination towards the poor. So the first thing, and I want to say that in the Great Commission and thinking about bringing people to the path to salvation, we too are called to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, you know, at our foundation, that's a huge privilege to be able to do that. And a few years ago now, we started to pray for Bible literature and ask the Lord that he would provide literature for us when we do evangelism with all of our children and go to public places to do that, to be able to send them home with God's word in their hand. And you know, God cares about that a lot. And a friend of mine, Sarah, she said to me, you need to talk to my dad, and you need to talk to my dad. And it was kind of something I kept putting on the back burner, but God had the answer right in front of me. And I said, finally, okay, Sarah, who's your dad? She goes, my dad is called Clive Allen, and he has a ministry in Northern Ireland that sends Bible literature all over the world. You're going, okay, I need to talk to your dad. She goes, I've been telling you. I've been trying to tell you. I said, I know, I'm sorry. So I called Clive up. He said, we would love to help your ministry. We're going to send you Bible literature. I said, great, I'll make some space in my suitcase. He said, no, you won't. I said, I won't? He said, no. I said, okay, you're going to send it in the post then, you know, to Colombia. It's kind of expensive in the post, but he goes, nope, we're not going to do that either. He said, but I am going to give you a box. He said, it's a metal box. It's a big box. He goes, it sits on the back of a lorry. And it weighs about 20 tons. And I'm going, oh my goodness. Did the Lord make a provision to help us preach the gospel to the poor? Incredible. We just received our third container of literature just at the end of August there. Praise God for his provision. I made my teenagers sweat helping unpack it. I'll tell you. 3.5 hours, 20 tons of Bible literature. Praise the Lord for that. That was an answer to prayer and an incredible provision to be able to preach the gospel to the poor, to help us to do that. So that's the first thing. God cares about preaching the gospel. Now, when I say to the poor, now I'm thinking 90% of the population were poor. I think there was a real calling to preach the gospel to the majority of people that you could reach. You know, so that's the first thing that I want to say to you today. Secondly, Jesus said that he was going to heal the brokenhearted. Okay? We get to do that every day at our foundation. And I want to explain to you what that means in Hebrew. And when I started to look this up, it was amazing. Broken in Hebrew means broken into tiny little pieces. Absolutely shattered. Doesn't just mean cracks or a little bit broken, it means destroyed. You know, we have the privilege of helping children where the enemy has tried to destroy their lives. And God can use us in love and encouragement to know God's path and to build their heart back up again. And you know, then I started to look up, okay, Isaiah 61:1 says, bind the brokenhearted. So I start to look up bind in Hebrew, and then I got so excited because bind, you know what it means in Hebrew? It means to bring hope, to encourage, and to bring courage to, and to lift up. What an incredible message. So Jesus said he's coming to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted means absolutely destroyed. But yet, if we apply Isaiah 61:1, it says to bind up, which means to bring hope and encouragement. And Isaiah shows us how we should answer the brokenhearted. How do we bring that healing? By bringing encouragement and hope and building up and caring for people and walking by their side every minute through every challenge they're going through. And you know, that just might be a prayer. It might be a moment, a word of encouragement. It might be a verse shared. It might be something physically that you help them with. But God can use all of us, even all of us right here in Whitley Bay, to do that, to bring healing to the brokenhearted. And I praise God that there are ministries in this church that are bringing healing to the brokenhearted, that with love and through encouragement and the bringing of hope, that people might come to know the love of Jesus in this place. Praise God for that. Now, you know, the third thing. Oh, I just want to share a story. One of our girls, she has had a broken heart. And she's 6 years old. And her mom works, how can I put this? She works a very difficult job that I'm not going to go into all the details of right now, but you can probably imagine what she does to make money. And she had an opportunity. Well, firstly, we wanted to get her daughter out of that place just to lift her out of that oppression, because she was experiencing things that a six-year-old shouldn't be seeing or hearing. You know? And the mom decided she's coming to work in Europe. And she told her little girl, I may never be back. Now, She's sat in front of us crying, saying, why does my mom not love me? Why doesn't she want to be with me? And why is she leaving me? And why might she never be back? What answer do you give? What answer do you give to that? Isaiah 61:1 says, bring hope and encouragement and walk by her side and do not fail and stand strong for that little six-year-old. That's what Isaiah 61:1 says. You know? Then the grandma from the dad's side starts to fight the custody battle to get the custody so that we have a legal representative for the child. And she comes from a very poor situation. She sits in front of me in a meeting and she bursts into tears because we stood by their side every step of the way to help that situation. And the grandma said, yesterday, my third son was killed in a gang fight. What do you say to that? How can you, what do you even do with that? Isaiah 61:1, you bring hope, you bring encouragement, and you build the person up. And with love, you show them God's love by walking by their side. That's Isaiah 61:1. That's binding up the brokenhearted. You know, that little girl now, she's starting, bit by bit, we can see that God is healing her heart. And we can see that the grandma has been able to get the custody. Praise God for that. Third thing Jesus said was this. He talked about the oppressed. He talked about bringing the oppressed out of oppression. But Jesus also talked about bringing sight to the blind. Now, I know that that sight to the blind, Jesus was talking about in a spiritual sense. But I can't stand here today and not give testimony to something that we got to be part of, that the Lord has been doing, but has been using to lift somebody out of oppression. Janine, before I even knew Janine, met a girl on the street called Dolly who was 14 years old. She had one child. This was back in the early 1990s. And by the time she was 17, she had three children living on the street. And you know, she took her children to a day program and Janine met her there, and Janine was just starting the foundation, and that was how she came to, her children came to live at Children's Vision. And on and off over many years, we have walked by Dolly's side and helped her in the difficult times. We bumped into her in a moment that we didn't know we were going to. It was what I like to call a God incident. And she started to cry. She's now 47, and she told us, I woke up 7 months ago and I was blind. All I could see was shadows. And you know, the Holy Spirit immediately starts to move on our heart and starts to show us that we have people in the medical field who might be able to help. And we managed to get her an appointment, and the optician looked at her eyes and said, even though the doctor said there was nothing to do, he said, I think there is. And we started praying over that situation and believing that the Lord could help her. Well, I'll tell you, a few weeks ago, Dolly was in the foundation and she has 100% recovered her eyesight. Praise God for that. She had two surgeries on her eyes. And you know what she told us? She said, you better not do anything naughty because I can see like an eagle. But you know what I saw? God is lifting her out of the oppression of so many years on the street. And the look on her face that said, don't get near me. That look that people who live on the street have to have to protect themselves has changed. And it has gone. And she had a smile on her face from ear to ear. And she's starting to talk about an amazing God and a God who loves her and a God who blesses her and a God who is, she just has everything to say about the Lord. That's amazing, because through her eyesight, through the surgeries and through the healing, God is lifting her out of oppression, the oppression of so many years living on the street. Praise the Lord for that. You know, I want to say that was one of my, in my 20 plus years in Colombia, I think it's been one of my greatest privileges. I can think of few gifts greater than to be part of a process that allows someone to get their sight back. Praise God for that. I want to show just a little bit of the DVD and let you see what we've been doing in our foundation, okay? So we're going to start at chapter 2, and this is a day in the life at Children's Vision. This is our family, and I can honestly say we're not a normal family. We're a little bit bigger, and the foundation, you know, is not only home for those of us who live there, but for our graduates who often come back. And it's a place where we live together, love each other, care for each other. We cry together, we're sad together, we eat together, and we play together. And this is the patio at our house. And we just got donated these two new cars, and the children love them. I'll tell you, you've got to watch out. You don't get run over on our patio. This is Spider. He's 8 years old, and he just learned to play with Lego. Now, you know, we had a vision of 5 homes, a school, and a medical center. We have the 4 homes, and we have our school, and we have our medical center in our new Blessings building. And, you know, we're starting to think a little bit of the 5th house. And, of course, it's going to be the Deuteronomy house, and it's going to be for the middle-aged boys, but we're having trouble spelling it. So we're just going to call it the Dude House. Amen to that, right? Now, when we were taking that photograph on the tree, I'm praying in the park, oh Lord, do not let that tree collapse. But all of our houses are done according to color, and whether it's boys or girls, and their age group. And that's how we do all of our houses. This is the Leviticus house, the middle house for the girls. So, you know, over time, our children grow. And they break things, and things get worn out, and especially they grow out of their clothes and need new clothes and new shoes. So this is what family shopping day looks like at our house. We don't get to go to the store to buy things, but we have many incredible people from the UK, from the US, who help provide for our children. So this is picking new shoes. Now, you know, the Lord says in his word that he knows everybody. Well, I want to say he knows their names and their sizes. And this is giving out clothes at our house. They all get to go through and pick out 25 different items. And they were all so happy because they got what they liked and what they wanted, which was an amazing miracle. But it seemed like the Lord kept multiplying this donation. And so we pulled in more people. We called in our graduates and some of their families, some of our needy neighbors, some of our parents of our children, some pastor families that we wanted to help. We were also able to do 100 baby packs for pregnant moms, 205 family packs for war victims, 300 mountain mission packs, and there were still clothes left. Oh my goodness. 9 days later, okay, we'd planned to do a 3-day donation. 9 days later, we were still donating clothes, and we helped thousands of people during those 9 days. Now, I'm just going to finish off with this chapter. You know, we have the privilege of bringing hope to those who don't have hope. And this is Dolly's story. It really was raining that much on that day. That was on one of the pathways. And Janine had gone to visit Cindy, Dolly's daughter, who had grown up with us in the foundation. And Dolly was there, 47 years old. And 7 months ago, she woke up blind. She thought she would never see again. We didn't know she was going to be there, and she didn't know we were going. This was my wife, Janine, doing the visit. This was Dolly back in 1994. when she lived on the street. 14 years old, she had her first baby on the street. By the time she was 17, she had 3 babies on the street. And she took her children to this day program where she would bathe them and where they would give them food to eat. And my wife Janine was helping there as a volunteer, and she was just starting the foundation. And Janine told Dolly, you know, we have a house and it's not a nice house and it really needs a lot of doing up, but we'd love to be able to help your children if you want us to do that. This is the Genesis House back in 1994, and it was a unique doer-upper opportunity. This was how the back of the house looks. This was the first kitchen, the first bathroom. This was the backyard. But Dolly said that even though the house was really bad, and even by her standards it was really bad, she said it was like the Lord opened the door to heaven, because her children didn't have to live on the street anymore. This was Dolly on her first day. She was received by Janine's mom, who was visiting, Grandma Tiki. This was the first storage room. First Christmas. First day of school. First baby cribs. And the first tiny babies. 30 years later, Dolly had lost her sight, blind overnight, but through 2 surgeries and lots of prayer, God, through the guiding of the Holy Spirit, gave her a sight back. And this was the day you're going to see the smile on her face, where she told us, don't be naughty because I can see like an eagle. Okay, I'll stop the DVD there, thanks. So I just want to finish off by saying it's a huge privilege to be able to present here and to teach the Word of God, and to say thank you for all of your help and your support over so many years, for your prayers and your encouragement, you know. And I just want to conclude this message by saying to you, praise God for the ministries in this place. Praise God that people come to know Jesus because of the ministries that come out of this church. Praise God that the gospel is preached to all those who want to hear it. Praise God that healing is brought to the brokenhearted. And I want to tell you that God can use all of us to bring healing. How? Through bringing encouragement and hope and building people up and standing by their side in times of difficulty. You know, and praise God that he uses this place to lift the oppressed out of their oppression. Just like Dolly. The miracle was not the sight. It was her coming to know Jesus really in her heart. That was the biggest miracle. So I'd just like to finish off by praying for you and asking the Lord to empower you in all of your work and service for him. Father, I praise you and I glorify you today. I give you thanks for the privilege of being able to teach your word today. Thank you, Lord, for all of the ministries that are part of this church. Father, I thank you, Lord, that the same as in Columbia is here in Whitley Bay. Father, I praise you and I thank you that the gospel is preached, that your word is taught, Father, that your transforming, life-changing word is taught, Lord. I thank you for that, Father. Lord, secondly, Lord, I praise you because in the ministries here, the brokenhearted are bound up. Father, you take the tiny little pieces, and through bringing hope and love and encouragement and standing by somebody's side, Lord. You bring people back to the path to know you. Father, you heal the brokenhearted. Praise you for that. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you can use all of us, Father, to lift the oppressed out of their oppression. Father, we can help in many different situations, but Father, the biggest oppression that we can free people from is that they can have the opportunity to know you. So, Father, I thank you for that too. I pray you'll empower your people here in this church with their work right here in this community. And I thank you for them, Lord. And may we come, as Jesus said at the end of those verses, to a moment to proclaim celebration, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, when we give thanks to you and we see your favor and we glorify your name for the victories that have come along the way. So I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your people here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you very much.